fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, that was a pretty darn good way to start the season. Denver 21, Carolina 20. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about CJ Anderson and your NFC home games. There are eight of them. And before the game starts, I'm cooking my dinner. I check my phone, check my emails. I got three people picking up Marshawn Lynch in different leagues. What the heck is going on right now? So we'll talk about Marshawn Lynch as well. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg. Two-man show today. Kreeth are off, and Dave is still sick, but he should be back on Sunday. Hey, good morning, Jamie. What's going on?
It's a great day, buddy. We had a fun game last night on Thursday night.
Yeah.
You told the world you didn't shower. And we're 2 days away from the full slate of NFL action on Sunday.
Yeah, it's awesome. And guess what I did last? I didn't shower, but guess what I did last night, Jamie?
What did you do?
I sat CJ Anderson.
Yeah, you did. Well, first off, I wanted to ask you, how many leagues that we're actually playing out do you own CJ Anderson? You said you play 10, or
pathetic.
I guess you're playing out.
Only two.
You have 10, right? Only two?
Yeah, two leagues out of 10.
And you sat him in one.
I sat him in one. I started him in my standard scoring league. I sat him. I think I'm facing Chris Towers in fantasy football today, our PPR league. I sat Anderson for Ezekiel Elliott, D'Angelo Williams, and then this was the really tough one. It flexed for me. I went back and forth, C.J. Anderson, Marvin Jones, C.J. Anderson, Marvin Jones. At one point, I said, screw it. I'm going to go with Anderson. He's my guy. And then I said, nah, I'm going to play it safe. PPR, I'm going Marvin Jones. Oops.
I don't think you made a bad choice. I mean, you know, in hindsight, clearly it looks like you made a bad choice. But I think Marvin Jones, he's not going to put up the same type of numbers that C.J. Anderson did last night, but he could get you 100 and a touchdown in that game against the Colts. It was a better matchup. And in PPR league, he had the better opportunity to catch the ball. And the one thing is, I think C.J. Anderson would have had a good game. I wonder, though, if Booker doesn't fumble, how many more touches he would have had.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not many more. But, you know, maybe a couple of opportunities, and who knows what that would have done.
Hey, did you know that a fullback has scored the first rushing touchdown of the season 3 straight years now?
Really?
Yeah. Andy Janovich, 28-yard touchdown. That's the third straight season a fullback has scored the first rushing touchdown of the year. Saw that on good old CBSSports.com. So email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I can't wait to break down the games today. Just a lot of really good ones. There will be a bonanza pick this week.
Yeah,
people are you bringing back the bonanza? Of course. I'm not bringing it back. The bonanza never went anywhere. So if you're new to the show, we'll explain that to you. But
yeah, sorry, everybody.
I had a couple of Twitter polls last. I'm riding high right now because C.J. Anderson, people are acting like I'm the only person on the show that liked C.J. Anderson this year. I guess I was just the most vocal, but we as a podcast liked C.J. Anderson. I'm not going to take that away from Dave and Jamie. I think Heath was a little down on him. But I don't know. People are acting like I just got elected president or something. So Twitter
it's a good feeling, though, isn't it, when one of your guys comes through?
Yeah, it kind of is. It's fun. Better Azer call. Twitter poll number one. Better Azer call, Stranger Things or C.J. Anderson? And what do you think?
I don't think you could take credit for Stranger Things because somebody told you to watch Stranger Things and you made that very clear that you were watching it on somebody else's recommendation.
That's like if
somebody who listened to our show was saying, I told you all along C.J. Anderson was going to be good because Adam Azer told me it was going to be good.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And somebody aptly pointed out, Stranger Things did it for a whole season. C.J. Anderson hasn't done that yet. So C.J. Anderson did win the poll, though, 68%.
The fun thing, though, about C.J. Anderson, we've never seen him play well early in the year. It's always been late in the year. 2 years ago, second half. Last year, end of the year. Let's go.
I'm pretty convinced if he stays healthy, he's going to have a huge year.
I tweeted that in the first quarter. If he stays healthy, he's going to be a monster. And I got a few responses back. Pump the brakes there, buddy. It's, you know, a couple good runs. And then after the game, I got a lot of those retweets, that tweet retweeted of just stay healthy, he'll be a monster. Because, I mean, that's the case. This is going to be a team that runs the ball a lot. They get the Colts next week. You should have another good game at home. So if he can keep this going, I think with any running back, I don't know where you are with this. I feel like if I get 10 good to great games out of a guy that I draft early, I'm thrilled about it.
I'm thinking about sending some trade offers out, though. I would probably trade him for Le'Veon Bell after this week.
Interesting.
Only two more games that you'd have to wait for Bell. You know,
you wait one more week though, you might be in better shape.
Yeah, against he'll kill the Colts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Twitter poll number two. Both Heath Cummings and Chris Towers have Fridays off. Do you think they will go to the mall together today? And yes is destroying no. 86% think that Creath will go to the mall together.
Well, they're not going to the mall together because Heath is doing an event with the Washington Nationals in D.C. So.
Oh, he's out of town?
Yeah, he's doing something with the baseball team with Max Scherzer.
Cool.
So if you're in the D.C. area, I'm sure Heath will tweet it. I don't know the exact details. But if it's open to the public, I know he's a little nervous because they asked him to do a 15-minute presentation to open whatever he's a part of. 15 minutes to talk is a lot.
Weird.
The other part of it is I think we should stop. As somebody who drives jokes into the ground, we should probably stop the Creath jokes ad nauseum. But I will share a Creath story. That yesterday we had our company being a sports company, we celebrate opening days of sports by they do something nice for us, so they brought in food trucks for us yesterday. And when I went downstairs after our show that I did with Heath, there were two trucks. Everybody was at one truck. There was another truck that not a lot of people were. As a matter of fact, nobody was at. So it was probably, let's say, at the time, 10 to 15 people at one, nobody at the other one. Two people, however, went to the other one by themselves. Got their food at the same time and walked off together. You can imagine who those two were.
Creath.
It was our good friends, Creath.
Yeah. So they're peas in a pod. Denver 21, Carolina 20. Great game. Great finish. Icing the kicker always works. See? Any major takeaways here? Cam Newton with your 22 fantasy points. You're probably going to finish pretty close to where you had him ranked, you know, around 12th. I don't remember. Where exactly did you have Cam Newton?
I actually dropped him yesterday to 14. I had him 13. And I dropped him to 14 because I put Cousins ahead of him. And I'm curious on this, like where you come out on it, because I know where I come out on it. If he finishes 14, because there's going to be a lot of good quarterback play, do I get that right?
Yeah, absolutely. 22 fantasy points is okay for a guy like Cam Newton. I mean, it'll probably be around 12.
It's certainly not what you hope for when you draft him as the first quarterback. But if he finishes with 22, which is a very respectable number,
yeah,
if not on the better side. But if there are other guys, like, we're going to get the wacky performance from somebody, whether it's Heath getting RG3 correct on, you know, him having a big game. Dave really likes Brock Osweiler. You can see Matt Ryan have one of those games. There's going to be some quarterbacks that are better than the 22 that Cam puts up. But are there going to be 12 guys better than the 22? Like, I don't consider it that I got it right.
Why?
Because Cam played better than I thought. I thought he'd be about 18. So what I saw in the first half, I was really nervous. I was like, oh my God, I blew this completely. And the second half was more indicative of what I thought was going to happen. You know,
yeah,
he struggled a little bit.
Right.
He got beat up. He had the, you know, it was a fluky interception, but it was still an interception, the turnover. I thought the Panthers offensively played really well in the first half.
Well, the one that you might be a little nervous about it's Kelvin Benjamin.
I mean, but everybody got that wrong.
But you just being low on him in general, are you thinking, what are you thinking after week
one? The season?
One?
Yeah, he looked great. You know, and certainly what he went against one of the best cornerbacks on the touchdown in Chris Harris.
Yeah.
And he made Chris Harris look like a high school kid, you know, just by size, not by skill, clearly. But, they did a much better job on him in the second half. The 12 targets were amazing. You know, the snap count clearly was a non-factor. And the talk of, If they were trying to sell the world on talking up Devin Funchess and motivating Kelvin Benjamin, it clearly, the smoke job worked. Because whatever they were hoping for may still materialize, and they get a great situation next week. They get the 49ers at home on a short week. Mm-hmm. So a team that's, you know, still learning under a new coach, having to play on a short week on a long road trip, it's a dream scenario for the Panthers. So they will bounce back from whatever you think may or may not have happened for that team. I actually thought that they played well against the Broncos defense, but they will be much better looking next week against the 49ers in their building.
Okay, a few more questions and we'll wrap this up here. If you were drafting today, you've only seen one game. C.J. Anderson was a third-round pick for us. Would you take C.J. Anderson now?
I mean, you know, I was thinking about this because I had him 13th. I think I was the highest on him. I think Dave had him 14, and I think Heath was probably in the 16 to 17 range. So,
not this week. That's for the season.
For the season.
Right.
I think you look at it as, okay, will he be better than the guys that were probably in the, like, cause Le'Veon, I think for me was 7. Will he be better than the 8 through 12 guys? You know, Devontae Freeman, Mark Ingram, Jamal Charles,
Doug Martin, McCoy. Doug Martin,
that group. And yeah. So I liked Anderson in that group. That's why he was at the tail end of it, because we just haven't seen it for 16 games from him. But I think if, I mean, I'm not saying this just from last night. You would ask me this, and Adam, you and I have talked about this a lot, about CJ Anderson on and off the air, that if you were to say 16 games for CJ Anderson, he would be probably 7 or 8 for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the question of, you know, where would he, how many games is he going to play?
Yep. Yeah, no, it's interesting. The comparison I brought up last year was Carlos Hyde. Big, big game week one against Minnesota. You know, like 160 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then pretty much disappeared. I don't think this is the same situation. And most people, you know, based on my Twitter feedback, also don't think that. But it's only one game. We don't want to get too carried away. So what do we think about the passing game for the Denver Broncos? Trevor Siemian scored 11 fantasy points, 18 of 26, very conservative, 178 yards, 2 interceptions. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas basically had the same game. Sanders 5 for 49 on 8 targets. Thomas 4 catches, 48 yards on 6 targets, and Virgil Green 4 for 28 on 5 targets. Your thoughts there?
I like the start. You know, I thought that they came out, they were aggressive, trying to throw the ball. They, you know, the first pass to Demaryius Thomas, he thought, okay, this is going to be a good situation for him. He'll be a volume guy, and we'll see what happens when they get in the red zone. He'll be better. Again, they get the Colts next week. You know, I had a question on a radio show that I did this morning. Somebody asked, the host asked me, I drafted Demaryius Thomas as my first receiver. I went running back, and then I took Thomas. And I think you're looking at it right now and you go, okay, I'm nervous, but it's too early to judge. Sanders is, I think this is kind of what he is. You know, he's going to have an opportunity to still be viable PPR standard. He's going to be a guy you're going to question starting. Next week is one you should probably consider using him as a third receiver for sure. But next week is, if they come out of next week and it's just run, don't have a good passing performance, then it's time to say, okay, am I going to be comfortable starting these guys when the matchups get a little bit tougher?
Yep. All right.
Virgil Green should have had a touchdown. Bad play by Siemian. He had him wide open in the back of the end zone.
Yeah.
And Ely just made a phenomenal play. He was the only guy that had a chance to stop that from happening, and he did.
Yeah, that was a great play. And that was such an awesome game. And Marshawn Lynch is in the news. According to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, Lynch is considering returning perhaps around week 4 or 5. Did this motivate you to pick up Marshawn Lynch?
Not at all. We were actually on the air during our Thursday Night Live show when this happened, and Will Brinson, who you hear us mention a lot on the show, who's an NFL writer, he was on the show with us, and he was the first person I saw.
Yep.
In I think 2 leagues that I'm in with him. He went and picked him up. Now, there are some leagues that we play in where our 14 teams, 16 teams, you drafted junk at the end of your bench. I don't have a problem picking him up in that regard, you know, just to take a flyer. Like Will, and I gave Will a hard time on the air. He dropped Steve Smith for him in one league. He dropped Kenyon Barner in another league to pick him up.
I wouldn't drop Steve Smith for him. I would drop Barner.
Certainly Barner. But look, if you're decent at receiver and you want to speculate if your running backs are terrible, okay, I could see you speculating on it, because this is a guy that's going to be, they're going to be guys you're going to shuffle in and out of your roster. Like I thought about, in one league, it's a 12 team league, but the rosters are 18 people. It's not the Scott Fishbowl. It's a different one. And my last pick was Tyler Irvin. So could I cut Tyler Irvin to pick up Marshawn Lynch? Sure. I could consider that. But I think when you're looking at it, there are a lot of things at play here. Seattle clearly moved on from him, because why else would they have drafted Alex Collins and CJ ProSize and kept Christian Michael? You know, they're pretty comfortable, I think, with their 4 guys. They would owe him, if I saw the report correctly, $9 million yeah. if he plays this year. Now, it was brought up on the air last night that he probably is trying to get a settlement from the Seahawks, because if he does come back, maybe he says to them, look, I don't want to screw up your plans, but give me half of that and I'll walk away. You know, I don't know if that's the case or not. Or Seattle could trade him. Now, I don't know who's going to trade for a 30-year-old back that looks spent at the end of the season.
This is so far-fetched.
It's really far-fetched, you know, and if you remember when he retired Super Bowl week, I believe, you know, was when the announcement came out with the picture of him hanging up his cleats. I wonder if it's just him trying to keep himself in the news and just playing with the media a little bit, you know, just to have some fun.
Yeah, he wasn't even good last year, so I don't know why anybody would be too excited about picking up Marshawn Lynch, who at best case scenario, according to this report, could be a month, and who knows? He's got to train. I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched. But Carlos Hyde is going to play this week. He's interesting in the rankings this week. Not a great start. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Andrew Luck's shoulder is fine. Rob Gronkowski, he may not play due to a hamstring injury, although according to the Boston Herald, Gronkowski is likely to play. Is he a must-start, Rob Gronkowski?
Well, I think the majority of people who drafted him probably did not draft two tight ends. And so you have to, you know, look at it. Like, I have him in, I think it's four leagues. Two of them are deep, deep rosters where I do have two tight ends. So I'm not going to make a move. I'm just going to swap out the guy I have to replace him. The other two leagues, I'm going to, you know, take a look tomorrow and see what I need to do. Like, in one league, I'm almost positive I'm going to have to drop Rob Kelly, who I don't want to drop, to pick up somebody who's going to play on Sunday. Now, I would tell people, because I believe it's a 4 o'clock game, that you should look at the guys who are playing Monday night, because they're universally available and they both have good opportunities. One is Jesse James for the Steelers. The other is Vance McDonald for the 49ers.
You'd really start them over Gronkowski, or only
not
if he doesn't
over,
play?
Not over, if he's out.
Oh, if he's out, okay.
Yeah, so it's only if he doesn't play. So the reason I would say that is the best free agent tight end I look at this week is Clive Walford, but they play 1 o'clock. So yeah. Unless you know Sunday morning and you can make ad drops Sunday morning that Gronk is not going to play, then you want to make sure you have somebody just covered for those afternoon matchups.
Walford, you have 11th in your rankings in PPR and probably right around there in standard, 9th in standard for Walford with that matchup against the New Orleans Saints. So if you had both of them and you knew Gronk was going to play at Arizona, who would you start, Walford or Gronkowski?
I'm not benching Gronk. I know okay. It's a terrible situation for him, not healthy. Bad quarterback, or at least presumably bad quarterback, and awful, awful matchup. You know, I mean, we've talked about for years how bad the Cardinals were against tight ends. They really turned that around last year, and I think they've turned the corner a little bit just based on the quality of players they have on defense.
All right, Darrell Revis is not going to shadow A.J. Green. I skipped over that unintentionally yesterday. I meant to ask if you're worried about A.J. Green. You know, Revis could have a better year than he had last year, and he wasn't that bad. He had a wrist injury. He's a bump and run kind of guy, so he's healthy now. We'll see if he's better, but he's not going to shadow A.J. Green, and everybody has Green in the top 12, so you're starting him.
I think the thing you got to worry about with A.J. Green is not only is just Revis, because Revis is going to see him probably a little bit, if not a lot. They're going to shade coverage to him. You know, it's something that you're probably going to see a lot early in the year until Eifert comes out, and when you're facing a good defense, a good secondary, you just downgrade him a little bit. He's still going to be fine. You're not benching A.J. Green.
The Ravens will rotate their running backs. It's not a surprise. Sharkhandrick West should play this week. Do we know that Ware is going to be the featured guy?
Spencer Ware, I think, has the best opportunity based on what we saw in the preseason and, you know, the reports all offseason. And West is still a little bit banged up. So, yeah, I expect Ware to be the guy there for sure.
Mike Thomas has an ankle injury. We'll talk about that game. Thomas Rawls missed practice with an illness. We'll talk about that game. Kevin White dealing with a hamstring injury. Marcus Wheaton missed practice Thursday with a shoulder injury, but he expects to play. And Chris Ivory was limited with a calf issue. Oh, do I have something to tell people? I am going to save you $400, or right around there, about $400 on one of the best purchases you're ever going to make. Gentlemen, all of you out there, you need a nice suit, not just a nice suit, but a custom made-to-measure suit from Indochino.com. Indochino.com. Indochino. Our offer code is FFT. Enter it at checkout to save all that money. Special occasions, work events, whatever you need to look really good for, consider a made-to-measure suit. It's uniquely yours. Customize every detail of it. You're going to look sharp. You're going to feel confident. Putting on an amazing high-quality suit that's going to last for years and fits you perfectly is really an awesome feeling. I have my Indochino suit. The second it arrived at my door, I tried it on, and I loved it. My fiance loved it, too. The ladies are going to love it, guys. So go get your suit. And again, our offer code at checkout is FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today, on Indochino.com. Look how easy this is. You don't even have to leave the house. Indochino lets you do this process online. You pick from hundreds of fabrics or patterns, submit your body measurements. You're soon going to have your Indochino suit. And this week, our listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389. This is something that people pay $800 for. $389 at Indochino.com when you enter FFT at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit, and shipping's free. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or your money back. This is an amazing offer. That's Indochino.com, promo code FFT for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. You're never going to have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Go to Indochino.com. Jamie, I've just been gifted with the bonanza of all bonanzas.
All right.
So explain to people what the bonanza is, if you'd like, for the newcomers or the people who have just somehow forgotten.
The bonanza is the biggest curse in the history of sports. It is ahead of the Madden curse. It is ahead of any other curse you may or may not have heard of. It is the worst. Go ahead.
The Bonanza is the game, the one game every week that I think should be best for fantasy. Basically, every relevant player, just about every relevant player, should do well. And I'm not going to get fancy this week. I'm just going to, like, Saints Raiders is the Bonanza. There's no doubt about it.
Didn't we have a deal?
What,
you
no
can't,
Saints?
You can't Bonanza the team that I picked the start of the week from.
And who's your start of the week this week?
Thanks for reading the story. Derek Carr.
I figured. I knew it without even knowing. How about that? Simpatico. Yeah, so that's the Bonanza. That's going to be a big one. I would say at least 70 points. I've got some stats for you here. A stat that probably means nothing. Dez Bryant. The last three times the Cowboys have opened against the Giants, Dez Bryant has scored a combined 14 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues in three games. Means anything?
No.
Means nothing. A stat that might mean something.
Two of those, he probably
something.
Wasn't healthy.
What's that?
Two of those, he probably wasn't healthy. Broke his foot in one of those games.
I think he was healthy for two of them, at least.
All right, whatever. Move on.
All right, the stat that might mean something. The Atlanta Falcons. You know, their run defense statistically wasn't that bad last year, but a lot of touchdowns. The Falcons have given up the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL two straight seasons. Does that mean something to you?
Yeah, if I have Doug Martin, I'm starting.
Yeah.
They also allowed last year the most receptions to running backs.
Right.
So Charles Sims could have a good opportunity, although he didn't do a very great job of that last year against them.
And we'll stay in that game for a stat that definitely means something, and this is not the first time we've talked about it this week, but Matt Ryan, his history against Tampa Bay, I don't know, Jamie, if you have any more specifics, but last three home games against Tampa Bay, 29 fantasy points, 29 fantasy points, and 25 fantasy points. The only thing I didn't see were fumbles. I'm not sure if he fumbled in those games, but those aside, three big games, 29, 29, and 25 fantasy points and 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. So this might be one of the only weeks that you feel great about starting Matt Ryan, but he's 15th for you, 16th for Dave, and 13th for Heath.
He's a good daily option, too, because I believe he's somewhat cheap on FanDuel. The one thing would be is he's facing the Bucs' new defense coordinator, Mike Smith, who was his former head coach, and Dirk Koetter has some familiarity with him as well. So you have two coaches there that know what Ryan's tendencies are. You know, you wonder how they're going to try and take away Julio Jones, but if they go one-on-one, Brent Grimes and Julio Jones, we saw Brent Grimes, what happened to him the last really year plus, but certainly last year, he doesn't do well against bigger physical receivers, and that's where Julio Jones should clearly have an opportunity to make plays.
Matt Ryan or Blake Bortles?
I'm not afraid of Bortles this week. You know, he's somebody I think that could play well, just given the matchup against Green Bay and how the game flow should go, where they're going to be. This is a Blake Bortles game. You know, I mean, chasing points and fourth quarter production.
How about Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger.
Can I say, I think that game, if I were, you know, handicapping or doing fantasy rankings, Steelers-Redskins feels like one of the more challenging ones. I don't have a good feel for that game. Do you?
If it was in Pittsburgh, yes. I mean, we've seen Roethlisberger statistically struggle on the road. And no Le'Veon. You know, they're dealing with now Marcus Wheaton is banged up. So, you know, I like he's toward the back end of my rankings. I think he's 12th. So it could be a tough game for Roethlisberger. I don't love him this week, but look, if you draft him to be your starter, you're playing him.
Well, the Redskins, I read today, they have seven new defensive starters. The Steelers are very injured on defense. So I think we're going to find out. You can't find out that much in one game, but we're going to find out some stuff about those two teams, the Redskins and the Steelers, see who's
For real. That's kind of why I moved Cousins up. I think, you know, you look at the way he played last year with DeSean Jackson when he was healthy and what number one receivers and tight ends have done against the Steelers, especially on the road, it could be a good situation for him.
Yeah, who do you like better, Roethlisberger or Cousins?
Roethlisberger, they're close.
Yeah, I think you have them 11 and 12 in your rankings. I want to tell everybody about Ion Fantasy Football, our radio show. If we don't answer your questions today on the podcast, you can call us up on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're on CBS Sports Radio from 10 to midnight Eastern time, answering your questions. It's a great show. You'll enjoy it. Fantasy Football Today is live noon Eastern, Tuesday through Friday, and 11 a.m. Eastern on Sunday morning to help you set your lineup. We have a Sunday night video show as well. And if you're into fantasy basketball, and if you're into Chris Towers, we've got a fantasy basketball podcast hosted by Chris Towers. He does an amazing job. I mean, fantasy hoops is really his sport. So that's going to be really helpful. It just started. It just launched yesterday. Fantasy Basketball Today. Check it out on iTunes or wherever. Fill in the blank, Jamie. I only have a few fill in the blanks. This is a guy that I, another guy that I had trouble really getting a feel for. Rashad Jennings will be blank this week.
Good.
Yeah.
Startable. Yep. He's got, he played well against Dallas last year in the two games. And his last two trips to Dallas, remember the Redskins, the Raiders Cowboys game on Thanksgiving 2 years ago? It really is what helped Jennings get his contract. He had a two touchdown game, about 70 yards rushing in that matchup. He didn't have a good yards per carry. I think he had like 19 carries for 70 some odd yards and two touchdowns. And then he did well in the one game against them in Dallas last year too.
Would you rather have Jennings or Carlos Hyde this week?
Jennings.
Jennings has been a really tough one. Like Jennings or Marvin Jones?
Jennings standard, Jones PPR. You know what? Maybe Jones both. I think Jones plays well.
Okay. Jennings or Yeldon?
Oh, that's easy. Jennings.
Jennings, right.
Yeah. The one that I'm struggling with right now for a couple of my own teams is Jennings. You know, surprisingly enough, I know this is going to sound strange given my distaste for him to a certain level, is I drafted Jennings and DeMarco Murray in two leagues, and I'm debating Jennings and Murray, and right now I'm going Jennings.
How about Jennings or Jarvis Landry?
Oh, that's easy. Jennings.
Jennings, okay. Fill in the blank. Blank is an elite player that will have a bad game. You're going to start him anyway, but who are you just kind of nervous about this week?
Does Macklin count? Is he an elite player?
All right, I'm going to give you one. This is more of a bold prediction than anything. I was very surprised that you have Todd Gurley as your number one running back. The 49ers were surprisingly very good at home against running backs. And go to week one last year, Adrian Peterson, 10 carries for 31 yards at San Francisco. So the only thing I would say is that I wouldn't start Gurley in daily fantasy, but obviously you're starting him.
Yeah, you know, I keep looking at my rankings and I don't love him at the top either, especially with Peterson facing the Titans and Lamar Miller against the Bears and Elliott against the Cowboys. Against the Giants, excuse me, at home. But I wonder if, you know, what we saw last year with Chip Kelly, because their offense is on the field so much, and it may not materialize week one, Philly allowed the most rushing yards to running backs last year. Well, they probably allowed the most running yards, I guess, period. But because they're always on the field.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You look at what the running backs did at San Francisco last year. Peterson, 5 points. Lacy, 9 points. This is all in standard. Justin Forsett, 9 points, but three of them came receiving. Marshawn Lynch had 18 fantasy points. That was on a Thursday, though. Devontae Freeman had 13, but almost all of it was in the air. He had 12 carries for 12 yards. David Johnson only had 8 fantasy points, 8 carries, 21 yards, and a touchdown. And Jeremy Hill had 19 carries for 31 yards and 2 touchdowns, so he did score 13 fantasy points. So it's just fun. I mean, it's just something to, I don't know, kind of have fun with, but obviously you're going to start Gurley. And last one here, finish this quote. Blank have happened. It's actually two words. Blank, blank have happened.
Have happened?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're looking for.
Looking for stranger things have happened, Jamie. Stranger things. Okay.
Unreal.
Three you like and three you don't in the NFC home games. We'll start with Clive Walford. I mean, we know why you like him at New Orleans. Give me some guys you'd start Clive Walford over.
I would start him over Antonio Gates. I would start him over Jimmy Graham. I would start him over Martellus Bennett.
Okay. Rashad Jennings you like. DeSean Jackson you like at home against Pittsburgh on Monday night.
Yeah, the Steelers struggled with number one receivers last year. I think we saw DeSean have a good rapport with Kirk Cousins once he came back from his injuries, especially to close the season. That's really when Cousins took off. You know, I mean, Jordan Reed gets a lot of the praise because of how he played, but you look at what DeSean Jackson does for that team and that offense, it could be a great situation for DeSean, especially, you know, we tend to see him play well in these primetime games.
Would you rather have DeSean Jackson or Tyler Lockett this week?
I think I just made that switch and put Jackson ahead of Lockett, but when I originally did my rankings, I had Lockett first.
Larry Fitzgerald or DeSean Jackson?
Oh, that's easy, DeSean.
Oh, that's easy, okay. Three you don't like this week. We go to Miami at Seattle. I guess the only Dolphin you'd consider would be Landry, right? And what would be the scenario in which you'd start Jarvis Landry?
PPR as a third receiver, which I am doing in one league. But other than that, I can't feel comfortable with any Miami Dolphins player. No Pouncey, or at least that's the expectation. You know, their center. And the run game probably going to struggle. They're probably going to be behind. Seattle will know that. It just shapes up to be a bad scenario for the way that they play versus the way Seattle will play.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The Seahawks were not exactly, you know, impenetrable at home last year, but it was only the really good teams. Carolina scored 27 points. Arizona scored 39. Pittsburgh scored 30. And they went 5-3 at home. But the bad teams, I mean, they really put the clamps on, except St. Louis scored 23. I think that a lot of it was late. Todd Gurley didn't have a good game until the fourth quarter. And St. Louis always plays them tough. So it's just very difficult for Miami. Would you start Giovanni Bernard or that guy on Miami, Jarvis Landry?
Gio.
Would you start Carlos Hyde or Gio or Landry?
Hyde.
In PPR?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Another one you don't like is Julian Edelman at Arizona.
I mean, you know, what can we expect with Garoppolo that is going to make you encouraged about Julian Edelman going into that defense? You know, I don't know what they're going to do in terms of Patrick Peterson shadowing anybody because Edelman's going to move around and play in the slot. But if that's the case, then Edelman's going to be completely eliminated because that's a brutal matchup for him. But, you know, the fact that they moved Deion Buchanan to linebacker, this hybrid linebacker, you know, that they play and Tyrann Mathieu with the hybrid safety, he's going to just have a lot of great playmakers around him. And I think with the offensive line issues that New England may struggle with Vollmer not being in there against, you know, their former teammate Chandler Jones. It could be a tough day for all Patriots. I was almost going to say all Patriots, especially if Gronk is out, then I would say sit all Patriots. If Gronk plays, he's the only Patriot that you could feel comfortable with.
We did kind of talk about James White as a potential dump off pass.
But he's not a must start guy. That'd be the situation. I mean, look, talking about Julian Edelman, most people aren't going to bench him. Most people aren't going to bench Landry in PPR leagues.
I would 100% bench Julian Edelman. I might be crazy. I might regret saying this, but I've said this before. This is the first time that I can remember ever saying I don't think the Patriots have a chance to win, and I think they might get destroyed.
Yeah, no, it feels that way, but I think people who drafted Edelman in a three receiver league, it's hard to find, you know, a fourth guy that you have on your roster that
Crabtree or Edelman.
I'd start Crabtree over him, but you know, you're getting some rare circumstances like Willie Snead. You could start over him this week. I'm not going to go Will Fuller in a PPR league over Julian Edelman. I don't think anybody would do that.
What about Jeremy Hill?
I think Hill's got a tough matchup. So in a PPR league, I'd go with Edelman.
What about in a standard league?
It's closer. You can make a case for Edelman or Hill. Yeah. I'd feel more comfortable with Hill scoring touchdown. Sure.
Okay. And you also don't like Matt Jones. Kind of an interesting one here because, you know, the Steelers are pretty banged up. They've got Cameron Hayward, high ankle sprain. He expects to play. Bud Dupree on IR and, they have a rookie nose tackle, Javon Hargrave, who hurt his knee on Monday. But Matt Jones, not feeling it this week?
I just don't know what to expect from him with the shoulder injury, how much he'll play. Game flow, I think, will be, you know, a factor for this as well. So I don't think the Redskins are going to stop Pittsburgh's offense. And so if that's the case, you're going to see, you know, maybe a lot of Chris Thompson in this matchup.
This might be the best game of the weekend, if we consider Monday the weekend. I'm excited for Pittsburgh at Washington. Let's preview it.
That's the best game?
It might be. It might end up being.
Oh.
I'm a bit of a Washington believer. I was the only one to pick them to win the division.
Right.
I think I like Gruden. You know, I think the NFC East might have some really lousy coaches, and Gruden might stand out. So that's kind of why I like them. And all right, let's get into the game. Kirk Cousins.
Is this his brother calling the game as a head coach the first time?
Oh, I'm not sure. No, they had a Monday nighter.
They haven't been very good.
Well, they had the Cowboys-Redskins game was Monday night, that crazy game with DeSean Jackson returning that kick or whatever it was.
That was last year? 2 years ago?
Yeah. All right. So, Kirk Cousins. So weird, man. Only 5 games last year with multiple touchdown passes. But in those 5 games, he threw 3 touchdowns twice and 4 touchdowns 3 times. So, he has big games, and he's right in... He's borderline top 12 for you. He's basically the same as Roethlisberger. You have Roethlisberger one spot ahead. We more or less covered this game. You like DeSean Jackson. D'Angelo Williams, how do you feel about him? What kind of a game do you see D'Angelo having?
I mean, every time that Le'Veon Bell was hurt or suspended, D'Angelo was amazing, except for the game where D'Angelo got hurt in week 17 last year. So he's going to get the workload that you look for. 15-plus carries. I'd be surprised if he's under that. He'll catch a couple passes. And we've seen this Redskins defense be hit or miss against running backs last year. We'll see if that changes. But this is a pretty good formula. You have a Steelers running back on your team. That's a starter without somebody else there. You start him.
Who are the zero RB guys? I guess it'd be D'Angelo, Spencer Ware, Kristen Michael. How do you rank those three? D'Angelo Williams, Spencer Ware, Kristen Michael this week.
Ware, Williams, Michael.
And they're all in your top
I like how you label them the zero RB guys.
Why?
I think they're more just backups.
Well, I mean, I guess I meant like if you went zero RB, you could be starting them.
Yeah.
Are they all in your top 15?
I think Michael's like 16 or 17, but they're all right there.
Okay.
If you were to say right now Thomas Rawls is out, I'd move Michael up a few spots.
Gotcha. Any Pittsburgh wide receiver other than Antonio Brown?
I think if you're in a deep league, Eli Rogers is somebody that could, you know, maybe crack your top three just to, if you would be stuck, let's say, you know, deep league and you drafted Josh Gordon or, you know, flex and you drafted, Le'Veon or Charles or Rawls, you know, and you're moving pieces around. He's going to probably have a 4 or 5 catch game, but you can't feel comfortable with it. And then Jesse James, I think, is interesting, but he's touchdown dependent.
Yeah, James. Washington somehow did a very good job against Gronkowski last year, but late in the year, Will Tye, 7 fantasy points. Zach Miller, 14. Zach Ertz had 13 catches for 122 yards and a fumble. Jason Witten, 6 for 58 and 1. No idea how that's going to carry over into this year. So, you know, James is just like, you're desperate. You're hoping this guy falls in the end zone.
Yeah, I'm starting him in our 2014 league where it's a point and a half for tight ends, PPR.
Okay.
So, would you like to hear the early results of the poll I just posted?
What is it?
Did Adam Azer just ruin Saints Raiders by calling it the Bonanza?
This game cannot be ruined. This is Bonanza proof.
Well, 35% of people agree with you.
Oh, good, good. That's actually more than I thought.
One response from, let's see, who was it? One response from, where am I not seeing it? Sorry.
Riveting.
Yes. One response from,
you know what, Jamie?
At J Brock Buchanan, I'm changing all my FanDuel lineups.
Oh, we got to give our FanDuel lineup a little bit later. As we go through these games, I want you to think about who is going to be the hot waiver wire pickup after week one. And maybe we can try to, you know, play a guessing game, anticipate it, and let people pick these guys up on Friday or Saturday before it's everybody, before it's a free for all. Oakland, New Orleans, Bonanza.
Clive Walford, pick him up.
Okay, there you go. I don't know what to really... All right. Here's what's interesting. Cooks, you're starting. What about... And Cooper, you're starting. What about Michael Crabtree? What about Willie Snead? Crabtree, he had more than 55 receiving yards only once in his last 8 games of 2015. He did score 4 touchdowns in that stretch. How confident do you feel in Crabtree and Snead?
I think Crabtree is a potential number 2 receiver for this week. I think he's certainly a top 30 guy, you know, depending on how deep you want to go with your team. He was the most targeted Raiders receiver last year. Now, part of that had to do with Cooper struggling down the stretch with a foot injury, but this is a good situation for him. I think where you can look at it and say he has a chance to play well in this matchup. You know, the Saints defense is not good. And Cooper probably has a tougher matchup just based on the corners for New Orleans. So, like his opportunity.
Who do you think is going to be better, Snead or Cooper?
Snead or Cooper, or Snead or Crabtree?
Snead or Crabtree, sorry.
I feel more comfortable with Crabtree just given the fact, like if you were to say pecking order, Crabtree has less to deal with from the third option than Snead does, because I think with Michael Thomas and certainly with Kobe Fleener, those guys are better than Clive Walford and Seth Roberts.
Who are some guys you're starting Derek Carr over? Or who are some guys you aren't starting Derek Carr over?
You know, I think he said it yesterday. The simple answer is he's the fifth quarterback for me. So it's Rodgers, Luck, Breeze, and Wilson.
Okay. Yeah, he'll be better than Cam. This is the Bonanza game. You'll get that one right.
Hope so.
Yeah. You don't have to hope. Latavius Murray or Spencer Ware?
Murray, just because I think there's a better case for him to get the full workload, whereas Sharkhandrick West, I think, could still play on passing downs.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great matchup for him. Last year, he had San Diego on the schedule twice. He did well against them. That was one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. Okay, Mark Ingram, top 40. All right, so here's the thing. Like, Oakland's defense is supposed to be good. I know you're not starting them this week, But they're supposed to have an improved defense. Is Mark Ingram, you know, not exactly a must start this week? What are your thoughts on Ingram?
Yeah, I think he's a must start. I mean, you know, his track record was pretty good last year, you know, especially with the receptions. Now, it's a good thing Heath is not here because he would probably laugh at this. But C.J. Spiller, I think, is going to play a role in some passing down situations. How much so, we'll see. But I think they still want to use Ingram as that dual threat guy. And, like, I'm looking at my rankings right now, and I had Ingram 13th and Anderson 14th. You know, it's easy to say hindsight. I probably should have switched that. But that's kind of where I felt like that was, to me, the kind of the tipping point of the top 14 or 15 guys was Ingram and Anderson, given their respective matchups. But Ingram at home, Saints at home, it's hard to get away from him. I don't think, you know, like, I can understand you're questioning Gurley at the top. You're not going to bench Gurley.
Yeah.
I don't think you would ever bench Mark Ingram in a home game against the Raiders. And I think the Titans ran on them pretty well, right? In the preseason, the third preseason game? If I'm not mistaken?
I mean, probably, because the Titans did well
in every preseason game.
Yeah, but the Raiders, they started off really badly, and then I thought they had a good third preseason game, but it doesn't really matter to me, to be honest. Yeah, you're starting Ingram. Let's go to the Giants and the Cowboys here. The last four meetings at Dallas, pretty high-scoring games, 29-24 Giants, 36-31 Dallas, 31-21 Dallas, 27-26 Dallas. So, you know, at the very least, well, the thing is, Romo's not playing, so who knows, but you should get some points in this game. Eli Manning, how do you feel about him? Two games last year against Dallas, less than 200 passing yards in each game and zero touchdowns. Very strange.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. Then you go back the year before and he was awesome against Dallas. Actually, I looked at it. I was starting to look. I was like, is it an every other year thing for Eli with the Cowboys? You know, the offensive line did not play well in the preseason, and they didn't look good offensively in the preseason. So I wonder if, you know, this is kind of, let's get four quarters, play well against what should be a bad defense or at least a mediocre defense. I'm not benching Eli Manning. You know, is he a top five guy based on what you would expect Dallas' defense to be? No. Top 10, though, I think it's hard to say I'm going to sit Eli Manning in this matchup.
Manning or Cousins?
Manning.
Okay. But definitely Carr over Manning.
Yeah.
You know, I think Beckham doesn't typically do that well against them.
No, and it's funny because his best catch of his career is against Dallas.
Yeah.
But I still think, you know, there's always something, I think, when you get these premier showcase games, and this is one of them. I think Beckham shows up. I can't imagine him playing poorly. You're not benching Odell Beckham, obviously.
No, really, the
question is who's going to be the second guy? Because we've been expecting and hoping all along that it was going to be Sterling Shepard. But now Victor Cruz is healthy. They tried to feature him a lot in the final preseason game. And you've brought this up a couple times about his history against the Cowboys. He has a really good history against them. I also wonder who's going to be the tight end of choice for the Giants, because they played Will Tye a lot in the fourth preseason game, which would indicate that maybe he's not the guy. Maybe they are going to go back to Larry Donnell.
Yeah.
And so I made
you gotta stay away from those guys.
Yeah, until one, you know, kind of steps up above the other. And I'm, you know, just back to your question about who could be the waiver wire guy. If you look at it historically, Jason Witten has owned the Giants.
Yes.
He's got such a great history against them. His last eight games against the Giants, I don't have the yards in front of me, but his 52 catches and seven touchdowns in his last eight games. And as we saw last year, you know, we talked about this a lot, that he always finishes as a top 12 guy. He basically finished as a top 12 guy last year because of his game against the Giants in week one. Now, he did have Romo in that game. And you look at it, standard leagues, I probably would stay away from Witten. He could be a good Gronk replacement. But in PPR leagues, I'd be surprised if he doesn't have like a 5-for-50 type of game with the chance to score, just given what the Giants have done. The weak part of the Giants defense is going to be their linebackers and their safeties. The strength is going to be their defensive line and their corners.
Well, they do like Landon Collins, their second-year safety, but their linebackers stink. You'd start Clive Walford over Witten, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But PPR is close. I think PPR, you know, Walford, you're really depending on a touchdown for him.
So we spoke about Jennings. As far as the Giants wide receivers go, other than Beckham, are you just kind of putting, are you just benching Sterling Shepard? Just want to see what's going on?
He's a third receiver. I just got a question from my cousin as we were on the air. And
Jesse?
He said, no, another cousin. Who actually plays
who cares?
My cousin David. And he emailed me and said, I need some help for my flex. And Shepard was one and James White was one in the PPR. And I told him to go James White. But I hope as we get into, you know, week two, especially when the Giants have the Saints at home, that we could see Sterling Shepard. I like to see Sterling Shepard come out of this game with, you know, around 6 to 8 targets and a healthy amount of yards. And if he scores, you're going to be thrilled about it. If he doesn't score, you're going to have some people that are saying, oh my God, I wasted a 7th round pick on Sterling Shepard. I'm dropping him, especially if Cruz has more targets.
Well, that's the thing. If Cruz does well, and that's a guy I think could be a waiver wire ad, I'm probably the only person who believes in him, but I just think they want to get him going. So, you know, I could see that happening. Dak Prescott and FanDuel, would you take a shot on him? Do you think he will have a good game?
I'd be nervous about it. It's the type of thing that you do in FanDuel to set yourself apart to have a chance to win. But, you know, he's going to have to make some plays with his legs. I think the Giants defensive line will, you know, get after him a little bit. You know, it'll be interesting with that Dallas offensive line. But they're going to be conservative. They're going to try and run the ball. They'll take some shots with Dez. He's got to limit the turnovers to be successful.
Yep. Start Zeke. Top 5 for Jamie and Heath. Top 8 for Dave in both formats. Giants DST is 10th for Jamie, 15th for Dave, 10th for Heath. The Patriots are at the Cardinals. The only Patriot you're going to feel comfortable starting is Gronkowski, maybe James White if you need some PPR help. Edelman, you know, we talked about him. But the Cardinals are another story. You know, you might think the Patriots have a good defense. They probably do. But they're a different team on the road. Looking at the last 2 years, they gave up 16.75 and 17.75 points per game at home. On the road, 22.4 and 19.75 points per game, not including last year 12 overtime points that they gave up, which would have, you know, raised it a little bit, about another point per game. Bottom line is, they go on the road, good teams can put up points against them. So how do you feel in general? Well, you're starting Palmer, you're starting David Johnson. Tell me about the wide receivers for the Cardinals and what you're doing with them.
I mean, they're all in play. You know, whether you're talking second receiver, third receiver, I feel the most comfortable with Michael Floyd just because I expect this to be, you know, one of the games where he comes out and starts the season playing well. And you look at it last year, remember what happened to Floyd? He got off to a slow start because of the hand injury. Well, you have Fitzgerald coming off a knee injury. He's going to be fine. He's going to play, but he didn't do a lot in the preseason. You have Brown coming off the concussion. And I just wonder if, just based on rapport, Michael Floyd gets the most targets in this matchup, or at least is among the target leaders. It's just going to be interesting to see how they line up with Butler and who he, you know, maybe follows or doesn't follow, and how they do their sort of, you know, put Butler on one, shade coverage to one side of the field to try and take somebody away. You can't really do that with Arizona because they have 3 really good, if not great, receivers. So I would rank them Floyd, Fitzgerald, Brown for this game in standard. In PPR, in PPR and standard, I would flip-flop Brown and Fitzgerald.
Oh, really? Well, you don't want to just get away from John Brown? Are you too nervous?
I mean, both Brown and Fitzgerald are outside my top 24, so neither of those guys are quote-unquote starters. They're third receivers. Floyd's the only one I have in my top 24.
Jarvis Landry or those guys?
Those guys.
All of them over Landry?
Yeah. I just don't know what to expect from the Dolphins in this game. You know, you can't trust them.
Okay. I think that'll do it. Cleveland and Philadelphia, 2 of the 3 worst run defenses in the NFL last year, but I know there's some optimism out of Philadelphia about Jim Schwartz. RG3, you have him 17th. Heath has RG3 12th. And yeah, Philadelphia, they were terrible against quarterbacks last year. They allowed the second most fantasy points. It's a little risky to start RG3 though. And which
But again, the Chip Kelly factor, not going to be on the field as much.
Mm-hmm.
So defense should be fresher. Defensive line should specifically be fresher.
Yeah, which DST do you like better?
The Eagles.
Are they a sleeper? Who would you rather have, the Eagles or the Giants?
Oh, the Giants.
Okay, the Cleveland running backs. I feel like the Eagles should have a good run defense this year with Fletcher Cox and Benny Logan, but they struggled. I mean, they gave up the most rushing yards per game in the NFL last year. I think you mentioned that earlier. That was just weird. Do you like Crowell or Duke Johnson this week?
Yeah, like in terms of, you know, kind of where you like them in the draft prep season, you know, I think they're potential flex options for you. For me, more so Crowell than Duke, because I don't see this as a game where they're going to be dramatically chasing points. So I don't think Duke is going to have a 5 for 50 type catch game, you know, where that's really his bread and butter. I think you're going to see him, you know, kind of be relegated a little bit until RG3 starts to show that he can check down to his running backs, which really hasn't been his MO in the NFL. So I'm okay with Crowell if you're stuck at running back this week, especially deeper leagues. But like you said, I don't think it's going to be a great game for him.
Crowell or Hyde?
Hyde.
Crowell or Ivory if he plays?
Crowell.
Really? Okay. You know, Duke Johnson, Philadelphia was really awful against pass catching running backs. Does that matter to you, or you just want to see something from Duke first?
Yeah, I want to see it from him first. You know, I think we got to, you know, get a better indication of where he's at.
Any wide receivers that you'd start in this game?
Not as a must-start guy. I think Matthews is a third receiver.
The Eagles were pretty good against tight ends last year, sixth fewest fantasy points allowed. But Gary Barnage, I guess it's just hard to get away from him. He's fifth for you. Dave has him 12th. Heath has Barnage 7th.
Yeah, I think Barnage will play well, just because of the lack of Josh Gordon being on the field.
What about Barnage or Ertz? Who do you like better this week?
Barnage.
But Ertz is 7th for you, 4th for Dave, 9th for Heath. So both these guys are probably going to be starting. And if you know, I can't imagine you have a tight end that's better. Ryan Matthews. Cleveland did get a lot better against the run late last year. It did not allow more than 8 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues to a running back in any of their last 4 games. So how do you feel about Mr. Matthews this week with the rookie quarterback under center?
I think when he's healthy and when the matchup is not extremely daunting, you're starting him. You know, whether it's a number 2 running back flex, for the first 2 weeks he gets Cleveland and he gets the Bears. Those are two very good opportunities to start Ryan Matthews. Once we get into the season, as Dave talked about this a lot, when they have those games where they're facing opponents coming off bye weeks, and if he's clearly dealing with some sort of injury, which is typically what happens with him, then you got to worry about Ryan Matthews. But for right now, he should be in your lineup. I'm starting him in a couple leagues this week.
Ryan Matthews or Rashad Jennings?
Matthews.
Ryan Matthews or Michael Floyd? Why? Start them both. Forget it. That's the easy
one. I'll give you one. If Christian Michael's the starter, I'd start Michael over Matthews.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a shock, but that's like in my rankings, I believe they're... I know I have Matthews is right after Ingram, right after Anderson for me. So he's 15 right now.
Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Would you rather have Jameis Winston or Kirk Cousins this week?
Winston.
Yeah, you like Winston this week?
Yeah, I think what we saw in the preseason is going to happen. You know, more up tempo for them, allowing him to make some more plays. I think it's going to be a game that could actually be more high scoring than what Vegas thinks. So I think you could see, you know, based on at least what Atlanta's track record has been against the Bucs with Matt Ryan. So if they put up points, I think you see Jameis having to throw. That doesn't mean Doug Martin's a bad play, but I still think that Jameis, with his receiving core healthy, remember, he didn't have that a lot last year with Jackson, Sverian Jenkins, and Evans all playing at the same time at 100%. I think this is his best receiving core that he's going to have.
All right, in the interest of saving time, I will skip the guys that are going to be universally or close to it, universally started. But Devontae Freeman, it is kind of interesting. The Buccaneers allowed 3.4 yards per carry last season. Only Denver was better, but I imagine most people are going to start Freeman. You do like Winston better than Matt Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, we know you like Matt Ryan to a degree. Mohamed Sanu, any room for him? Vincent Jackson, what do you think?
I mean, he could. Vincent Jackson I like as a third receiver. Sanu's not in my rankings in my top 48. I need to see something from him first. Somebody's going to have a second touchdown. I don't think you're going to get, if Ryan plays the way he's been playing against Tampa Bay, I don't think it's going to be a 2-touchdown game for Julio. But it could be a 1-touchdown game for Julio and a 1-touchdown game for Devontae Freeman out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I think we'll see, you know, some of these secondary parts outside of those two guys will have an opportunity to make plays. It could be Sanu, could be, you know, one of their tight ends, whether it's Tammy or Hooper. You know, we'll see who sort of steps up there. But to go back to your original question, I don't think we're going to – Sanu would be the only one, I think, if you're going to pick somebody up off waivers that you would consider. If he plays well.
Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting. Those last three games that Matt Ryan has played against Tampa Bay at home, all three very good games, did not have a second wide receiver score double-digit fantasy points. It was either a tight end or a running back or Julio Jones, but it doesn't mean Sanu is going to have a good game. Vincent Jackson, on the other hand, how would you compare Vincent Jackson with the Cardinals wide receivers this week?
Oh, he's behind them. You know, I think, you know, Jackson comes into play. Maybe comparing him to Crabtree, you know, who was drafted around the same range. Maybe comparing him to Sneed, who was in that range, you know,
but
Landry.
But you wouldn't start Crabtree over, like, John Brown or Larry Fitzgerald?
Oh, I would. I'm just saying, you know, just, like I think Jackson's in that conversation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you said he's behind them, but...
Oh, well, I'm saying for me, I would start Crabtree over those guys. I don't know if the public would.
But Vincent, you know, Jackson, I asked you Vincent Jackson versus the Cardinals guys. I thought you said
yes.
He was behind them.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, based on where you drafted them, excuse me. So, like,
but this week...
Yeah, this week I think Crabtree is behind. I mean, Jackson's behind those guys.
Okay.
But it's not far. You know, Jackson's actually had a pretty good history. In his last 5 meetings against Atlanta, he scored at least 7 fantasy points in the standard league. Now, 3 years ago, he had 2 monster games against them. But last year he had, I think it was 3 catches for 87 yards, only played in one of those games. So it's a really tough matchup for any team facing these guys when you don't have big cornerbacks. And the Falcons, as far as I look at it, don't have big cornerbacks. So if Trufant, you're not benching Mike Evans, but if Trufant matches up with Evans and shadows him, which is what we saw at the end of last season, Evans should have an opportunity to get a lot of single coverage and some favorable matchups there. And you would imagine that Jameis will lean on him a little bit. Again, full disclosure, I started Jackson in one league where I have Kelvin Benjamin. I started Jackson over Benjamin because I thought Jackson would play better.
Seattle and Miami, I know you want to sit all the Dolphins. What about Seattle's running game? If you could break this down real quick, Jamie, because I want to read some emails. Seattle's running game, how you're planning on approaching it based on what we know on Sunday.
I'm basing it what I know right now. I think Christian Michael is going to get the opportunity to have at least 50% of the touches. So I am starting Christian Michael in almost every spot I have him, and you know I have him in a lot of leagues. So I'm comfortable enough with Christian Michael against Miami's defense, which should be better than it was last year, but it was worse in terms of fantasy points allowed to running backs. So their linebacker play is not good. If you get past that defensive line, which I think you'll have some opportunities to, I think he's going to play a little bit on passing downs. So Christian Michael, to me, is a top 15 guy right now. And if Thomas Rawls is ruled inactive because of this illness and they want to just, you know, keep him on ice, then Christian Michael's a top 10 running back.
All right. All right. You know, then you might have to have a tough decision. Do I start him over Mark Ingram and LeSean McCoy, Ryan Matthews, guys like that? And you might. You have to check the rankings later on in the week. Doug Baldwin must start?
Yes.
Tyler Lockett?
He's close. You know, I think he'll take some shots. The one concern would be is if they're up big and having a lot of success running the ball, I don't know how many shots they'll take, but they talked about trying to feature him, and this is a good opportunity against that Miami secondary to feature him a little bit.
What do you expect from Carlos Hyde? Is our last game here. The Los Angeles Rams at San Francisco. What do you expect from Carlos Hyde?
You referenced it in terms of the 49ers' run defense last year, but think about their run offense in that opener last season. They really came out. They established a run. Different head coach, but you know what Chip Kelly's MO is. He wants to run the ball, run a lot of plays. So if Hyde's healthy, I think he's a number two running back. I have him benched in a couple leagues for Christian Michael because I think Michael's ceiling is higher. And I would bench him for Spencer Ware, and I would bench him for D'Angelo Williams if you have that choice. But for the most part, if you drafted Carlos Hyde as a number one or number two running back, depending on how you built your team, I think it's hard to get away from him, even in a tough matchup against that Rams front seven.
Emails, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. George from California, his subject line was, look, Stranger Things reference here. And he got on the show, so good for you, George. Dear Jonathan, Nancy, Steve, and Barb, they are from Stranger Things. Who should I start, Christian Michael, Larry Fitzgerald, or Golden Tate?
Christian Michael.
Over Fitzgerald and Tate, okay. Jason in New Orleans, dear Steve, Jonathan, Brenner, and Hopper.
No clue.
Yeah, me either. Cardinals DST or Rams DST? And he doesn't have to drop anyone to do it.
Cardinals DST.
Oh my gosh, Cardinals are just, they're going to tee off. Oh wait, Steve, Jonathan, Brenner, and Hopper? Oh God, they're in Stranger Things. I didn't even realize that.
You're,
I guess,
terrible.
I don't know it as well as I thought. Wow, embarrassed. This is from AJ from Puerto Rico. Dear Alex, Pete, Georgie, and Dim. Alex, Pete, Georgie, and Dim. That better not be Stranger Things. I knew it! I knew this was a Clockwork Orange.
Nice.
Should have said it, Jamie. Fail. Okay.
I don't know the characters.
Here's the trade offer he got. He wants to know your thoughts on the trade. He would give up Keenan Allen, Josh Gordon, and any one of these running backs. Lacy, McCoy, or Latavius Murray. So Keenan Allen, Josh Gordon, and let's say Latavius Murray. For Mike Evans and Lamar Miller. Would you do that?
No.
No, you wouldn't? Okay.
Too much talent giving up.
From K-Mac in a mid-sized town in southwest Louisiana. We'll leave that to Dave. Team name is Jokel and Hyde, which is good. And Matt Ryan or RG3 this week?
Matt Ryan.
This is from Clinton in Bell Compton, Ohio. Kobe Fleener or Travis Kelce, standard scoring?
I think Kelsey's going to play well. No Eric Weddle there for the Chargers. So I like Kelce in this match.
I can't believe you. You are the Fleener guy all offseason long. He gets the Raiders.
Like Kobe Fleener. First off, how many people drafted Kobe Fleener and Travis Kelce?
Well, this guy.
Okay, so this is the one scenario for this particular week. For
I know.
Season, For the season, Kobe Fleener. For this week, Travis Kelce.
But it's the Raiders. It's like such a good matchup. It's perfect. It's the bonanza.
You want to know the poll results right now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
524 votes. 72% yes. 28% no.
All right, we're losing ground. This is from Derek from somewhere in Canada. He's in Toronto. He's in Manitoba. Dear ST and Ranger Things, I usually put too much time into my team names, but this year I feel like I outdid myself. I drafted Andrew Luck, Le'Veon Bell, and Adrian Peterson. Andrew Luck, Le'Veon Bell, and Adrian Peterson. My team name is Luck Bell AD Tonight, as in Luck Bell AD Tonight.
I don't know who's the worst singer, you or Nick Costas.
Oh, come on.
It's clearly Nick.
All right. This is from Jeremy.
Nick sang the worst song ever.
What did he sing? He sings Kanye. Was it Kanye?
No, it was, what was it? I'll think of it in a second. It was terrible. His version of it was terrible.
This is Jeremy from a city with a lot of people in it, not named Chicago, in Illinois. Do you know any other Illinois cities? Champaign?
Not named Chicago.
Peoria? Champaign,
sure. There you go. You named two.
Is Champaign in Illinois?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good. I don't drink, so. Dear Bruce, Clark, Barry, and Hal.
Bruce, Clark, Barry, and Hal.
It's gotta be comic booky.
Those are the names of the aliases for comic book guys.
Yeah.
Do you know what they are?
Bruce Banner or Wayne?
Bruce Wayne.
Clark Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Allen, is he the Flash?
I think so.
And Hal McCray.
No, I don't know what Hal's last name is.
I have no idea.
It's Green Lantern.
Okay. Hal McCray, the baseball player. That's where I went with that. All right, second running back, Melvin Gordon, Giovanni Bernard, T.J. Yeldon, or Amir Abdullah, half-point PPR. Melvin Gordon, Gio Bernard, T.J. Yeldon, or Amir Abdullah.
I really have a feeling Abdullah goes off this week.
Come on, let's do it.
I mean, the Colts defense is so bad.
And Dario wants to know if you'd start Isaiah Crowell over Thomas Rawls.
Yes. I don't have a lot of faith in Rawls this week. I'm surprised that my colleagues have him ranked so high.
Yeah, I feel like he's not going to get much work.
Right.
Also, I feel like the Dolphins aren't going to be quite as terrible as people might think.
No, I don't think Kristen Michael goes out for 200 yards or even has a C.J. Anderson game, but I think he could get you 100 and a touchdown if he's the starter.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it for the show today. Thank you, everybody. Fantasy Football Today, live Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, and Ion Fantasy Football Saturday night at 10 p.m. until midnight Eastern time on CBS Sports Radio. You can listen online, cbssportsradio.com, or you can go on that website and find out which local radio station in your area will carry our show. Jamie, thanks, man. Have a great weekend. I will. Are you on tomorrow? Is it Dave?
Me.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow then.
Yes, you get more of just the two of us.
We can make it if we try. I'm Adam Azer for Jamie Eisenberg. Have a great weekend, everybody. Good luck in week one. This is Fantasy Football Today.
Bye.